Okay, let's start all over. Now, today I'm talking again with Michael Batilana. Michael, let's talk about something completely different, something in your personal life. Let's talk about your POW interviews.
Oh, okay. That's surprising, yes.
I think it's quite interesting. Yes. Are you willing to talk to people about that?
Oh, yes, I'm willing. These are World War II veterans I'm meeting. They were not prisoners, except, unfortunately, very briefly in one case. And it all relates to some events which happened in my family's history during World War II in Germany, in Freilassing, which is a town on the border with Austria. It's very near Salzburg, by the way. You can cross the bridge on foot and cross the border. My grandfather is from 1900, so he would be 108 now. He died at 97 in great shape. He was doing everything independently up to the end. He was drafted in 1942 when he was already quite old, and he went into a medical reserve unit where he was trained as an EMT, so for medical support. And he left his family alone. Wife.
This is in the German army.
This is in German, yes. Mm-hmm. So my grandmother in 42 was left alone in the new house they had built, because, in the 30s, the economy was going quite well in Germany, which was also one of the reasons why people were generally less critical than you might think now about the state of affairs in the 30s.
Especially since the 20s had been so bad.
Yes. After World War I, there was nothing. And even after World War II, there was no food and nothing. We had photographs on my grandfather's wall in 1918. He was there sitting with beer mugs with his friends, and he told me, the mugs are empty. We just took those pictures because we did that as a celebration, but the mugs, there was no beer. So in the 30s, the economy goes a bit better, and my grandfather, he had a business. He had a little sawmill, and he used to prepare wood for ski factories. But he was drafted in 42 when they started drafting everyone, even if he was already 42. And in 45, towards the end of the war, in this village of my grandparents, something happened which left a sign for many, many years to come. The village has been largely unaffected by the war. I mean, there was a railway junction, there were military materials, there was Hitler's Alp resort nearby, which had expanded over the years, and which the Allied forces, well, they had this theory that maybe at the end of the war it could be used like as a retreat, And so the railway there also went on to that place. And except for a few, you had sirens when there were planes approaching, but except for a few cases where there were fighter planes shooting a bit, there was no major thing, no bombings and so on. Until on April 16, 1945, some U.S. Fighter planes who were on a mission in the Salzburg area, they flew back through the area, and they were hit by flak, and one pilot crash landed. His name was Chester, and he was captured, so he survived the crash landing quite well. He was slightly injured. He was put on a truck, paraded through town, tied in ropes. My aunt and other children at school, they were all brought to this place where they would see him, and they were told that they should spit at him. And afterwards, the mayor and two who assisted him, they brought him in the woods and they shot at him. The mayor was in a quite extreme, he was also a Nazi leader. He had arrested my grandmother several times.
So by shot him, you mean they killed him?
They killed him, yes. They killed him. This mayor was also a local Nazi leader. He also had arrested my grandmother several times because she was not a party member, in spite of the fact that she was alone with children, mm-hmm. and my grandfather was away. And this left a sign because, I mean, everybody felt guilty for this. And the week after, on April 25th, the town was almost destroyed. They were bombed in what seemed one bombing to the people. They were actually bombed twice by two entirely different units who did not know about each other. So in the afternoon, the American planes came from France and they bombed our target. And in the evening, the Royal Air Force came from Italy and they hit the train station area, which was a wider area. And since they also were bombing later during the day towards evening, night, it was maybe because of that a bit less precise and they hit a wider area. Also, the target was wider. And the village was built around the train station area. So the result was that people connected these two events. Whether true or not true, it was written in the books that the town was punished as a retaliation for the killing of the American pilot. It was destroyed.
How big was the village? What was the population of the village?
A few thousand. Okay. Yeah, I mean, there were limited casualties compared to the material devastation because they had been warned. There were alarms and everybody was in their shelters. But still...
the village was destroyed. The,
yes. My grandfather's house was burned down. His wood factory was destroyed. And my grandmother and aunt, they went back to the burning house and they went in just to rescue things. My grandmother was like crazy throwing pots out of the window of the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And my aunt, she went to my grandfather's room and he got his ties, you know, mm-hmm. because she imagined... her father, when he came back, he would need his tie, you know. Mm-hmm. That's how she saw his father.
Right.
So she didn't get her doll. He got my grandfather's ties.
Mm-hmm.
And when my grandfather came back, he had lost everything, health, work, the house which he had built. I mean, he had accomplished something which even I haven't accomplished, building a nice house like that at a quite young age. And it left a sign. It took him some years to recover. We were taught, even as children, that, you know, you can always lose everything. Things can change in life. There was a picture hanging on the wall at the entrance of how the house was after it was bombed. And maybe more than just a sad story for us children, it was something... also interesting because you imagine this. I imagined a single plane dropping a bomb, you know. It was a very simple thing. We didn't know it was it British, was it American, what was it? Even the story about the pilot, my grandmother had seen him, my aunt had seen him, but who was he, and was it really connected or not? We didn't know. So my mother's generation could not ask about the war. It was inappropriate. I was more free to ask things from concentration camps to what the people knew and didn't know and so on. And I was inquisitive and curious. And even after that, as an extension of my grandparents, I had this curiosity to know and see what they could not know and see, which is the people who actually were flying there. And my grandmother thought it was a punishment. My grandfather said no, they were not related. So they had different opinions. But we knew nothing. And actually, for the story of this pilot, the mayor had been sentenced to death by a war crimes tribunal. So on a formal side, justice had been made. I am not looking for justice, but this is a story about people, and for some reason it stayed inside me as something...
Well, one of the other things we've talked about the other day too that affected you. Didn't you say that your grandfather didn't allow you to watch American movies.
That's right. Right? So I mean,
he was evidently quite bitter.
Yes, there was some. He was also prisoner of war before coming home, and he was a prisoner in Italy first under the Americans and then under the British.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't allow us to watch American films on TV. If there mm-hmm. was something American, we had to see something else. Mm-hmm. And we, but again, it was not something. We didn't quite understand this, but still it was one of the things, like the pictures on the walls, which made you think about this and maybe want to know more. So in 2005, which is 60 years after these events, even the last documents, which were secret for 60 years, were opened. And previously, already in 95, there were some 50-year terms which expired. And plus you got the internet. And the fact that many of these people are still alive. And it allowed me to do some research. And I found out about this mission by the American forces in the afternoon of April 25th. And the Pentagon, surprisingly, within a few hours, their historical section, they sent me documents. And I could choose the pictures that I could request, but another archive for real microfilm copies. Mm-hmm. I saw the mission orders and reports and so on, and I understood that it was more complex than I thought, because this bombing could not have hit my grandparents' house, and it could not have destroyed the town as it was destroyed. So I again had to start from scratch. And so I found out that there was another mission by a completely independent unit, which didn't even know about the other one, by the Royal Air Force, flying in from Italy. And their target was the train station area. And that's how I found George in the UK, who still was an active historian for his group, and he was a rear gunner in this plane. So in the rear of the bomber, you have this gun where you try to defend your plane from attacking fighter planes. And that was a very dangerous job, because the fighter planes, they would come from the bottom, and the first thing they would hit was the rear gunner. So then everything would be clear for them. And I met with George in the UK, and it was a very emotional meeting. I was surprised by how much need there still is for people to meet, to understand, to heal, and to bring closure in these things. I mean, we still have people who feel guilty for that. And if they just got a chance to get together, and it would be good. And so we exchanged photographs and pictures, and we met in the UK. And I'm very thankful for him, for this meeting, and for the other contacts he gave me. 2 days ago in Toronto, near Toronto, I met with Peter, another rear gunner, and he also has vivid memory of that mission, because it was the last mission, even if they didn't know at the time. It was one of the most important missions, because they were told, you know, all these Germans are coming up from Italy, north, and then there were trains amassing in the area, and there was Hitler's area in the Alps. So it was an increasingly important target, also as they felt. They did not know about this fighter plane pilot who had been killed the previous week. And now let me tell you more about this. I did not know his name. In the town, nobody I know knows his name. So I had to go through the missing crew reports of the time period, both for the US and British forces. And so I was able to find him at the end. And next week I'm visiting one pilot who was flying with him on that day. That will be near Phoenix, Arizona. So just as you are keeping this oral history of things, uh-huh. I started this week I started filming these meetings with their permission. I mean, I'm not used to doing this. It takes me a few minutes to even forget that there is a camera, but they've been very kind, and they helped me too, these gentlemen who've been doing this. So I found the name of this pilot. He's now buried in New York. He didn't have family. He's from Cape Cod, actually near Boston, here where we are. And I'll see if I find someone in the area in the next few days. But I did not find any relatives so far. So I have witness accounts from the people who lived these days. And it brings me back also to my family, and it somehow brings a feeling of closure to this whole thing. And I wish that we can do more. That, I mean, as I said, town felt guilty, feels guilty. My aunt, she's still there. She remembers this. You know, you were ordered to spit at him. He was killed, and it's terrible. And you can understand that even if it was not true that the two events were related, that they felt that they had been punished. It was even liberating, maybe, to believe that. But I could not find any records about any relationship. The people on the other planes, on the fighter planes, saw the friend who was leaving the aircraft, and so they thought, okay, maybe he will get captured or whatever, but he was okay as far as they knew. And there was a report about somebody killed without name in the following days, but probably it was not known until after the bombing. So this is a personal story. I'm doing it for personal reasons. And
so what's your next step?
Meeting with the friend of the the fallen pilot, Chester, yes. And I'm shooting videos of this, also of my family's memories, and maybe we can share this all together, because I think they are...
How does your family feel about this project?
Well, of course they are surprised that it's still possible to meet with these people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like as if time stood still in a way. But this is how it was in my grandparents' family. You went to their cellar, and they still had the things from those days. In a way, time stood still. Mm-hmm. And these gentlemen have very fresh memories of those days. They remember the events. They remember their feelings when they were in the air, whether they were afraid or not, focused on the mission or not. They remember seeing everything burning on the flight back. You know, they were in the rear of the plane. It was a clear night. What they were feeling about that, about the people on the ground. And I'll tell you that even for them, they had to process this, and it was not easy. So it's even now, talking helps, meeting helps, mm-hmm. and doing that after so many years, it surprises me that it's still so alive, and right. that it's still so beneficial to do this. In any case, for me, I have to admit, it also brings back my grandparents a little bit, because I grew up with their memories, mm-hmm. so that's an extension of them. And so many stories about the war, about what they were doing and how it affected them. And so we exchange ideas. I mean, it's also emotional for me, sorry,
sure.
to do this and be there with the people who were there in those days. Mm-hmm. And yeah,
it's a very impressive story. Thanks for sharing that with us, Michael.
Thank you, Mike. Yes,
it's Michael Battilana. Thanks.
Yes,
a lot.
And I have to say, you inspired me in part about the recording thing. You know, with your interviews, mm-hmm. and yes, because otherwise it would be lost.
Yes.
Yes.